My guest at this time is Marjorie Dannenfelser. She is president of the Susan B. Anthony List, an organization working to elect pro-life members to the U.S. Congress and other legislatures around the country. They also have a special focus on electing female pro-life candidates. And one of the things they're doing is turning around the supposed case of the war on women. It's been a prevalent theme at the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte this week, as they accuse Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, and Republicans as a whole of trying to deny what they call basic health rights to women, restricting abortion, the contraception mandate, and so forth. And this has given the Susan B. Anthony List an opportunity to fire back with what they see as a far more radical abortion record, and that's of President Obama. They're doing so through a series of TV ads, this one featuring Melissa, who was born in 1977 after a failed abortion. Here's just an excerpt from that ad.
I was aborted and my body discarded like I didn't exist, but a nurse heard me crying and cared enough to save my life. There's something else you may not know. When he was in the Illinois State Senate, Barack Obama voted to deny basic constitutional protections for babies born alive from an abortion. Not once, but four times. I know it's by the grace of God I'm alive today, if only to ask America this question. Is this the kind of leadership that will move us forward?
So Marjorie, obviously a very compelling story from Melissa, and obviously a part of the Obama record that perhaps not that many people know about, although it did come up in the 2008 campaign. What are you hoping to convey through that?
Well, it's vitally important to know why this, this ad, where it would have come from in the first place. That is that Obama voted against this because he thought that it would start to unwind Roe in some way. So even though a baby was born alive, crying for its own life, he looked at that as a situation and said, no, we certainly cannot require that that the baby be treated with equal medical care as a child who would be born with an intent. What you have is a right to a dead baby every single time. That is extreme. There is a great contrast between these two candidates. Romney as a common ground position, and Obama does not, and he never has, even though he has claimed it to get elected last time. You have to read the fine print in the Democratic platform. They used to say safe, legal, and rare. You remember that was the mantra for a long time for Democratic candidates. They took out rare, and I think rare taking that out has made them intellectually honest, because who wants a human right to be rare? They don't believe that there is a problem with the 4,000 children that are dying every day from abortion. They don't see it like that, and they don't want to have any moral comment on it one way or another. So rare is gone, and they are definitely not on the side of the American people on that question for sure.
We're talking with Marjorie Dannenfelser of the Susan B. Anthony List. And Marjorie, the Democratic platform's gotten a lot of attention this week, mainly for what is not in it, or wasn't until they put the references to God and Jerusalem being the capital of Israel back into the platform to great controversy. But another issue that's in there that has gotten some attention is the fact that the platform states that abortion should be legal throughout the pregnancy and should be funded by taxpayer dollars. Is that a change, and what do you make of that overall statement?
Now, that has been their consistent position, and that, talk about out of the mainstream, talk about extreme, that is it. Because whether you, no matter what your position on the issue, the 70-80% majorities of the American people don't believe that their money, especially now or any time, should be going to fund something that they either are ambivalent on or they morally oppose, as if it was the killing of a child born for a long time. That is completely out of step. And I have to say, it is kind of comforting, don't you agree, that God is back in vogue? I'm sure the Lord is happy that he's been allowed back into the platform.
Marjorie, another issue, of course, that has come up, and this was evident in the speech by Sandra Fluck. I don't know exactly the pronunciation of her last name seems to change from time to time, but she was the one who, of course, testified on Capitol Hill that the cost of birth control is a financial burden as she works her way through law school and so forth. And during her speech last night, she basically tried to portray two different Americas depending on which candidate got elected. She obviously painted a much more rosy picture if Obama is reelected. Some of the things she had to say about the Romney-Ryan ticket is that you would have a vice president who co-sponsored a bill that would allow pregnant women to die preventable deaths in our emergency room, in America in which states humiliate women by forcing them to endure invasive ultrasounds they don't want, and in America in which access to birth control is controlled by people who will never use it. Your reaction to her statement as being the face of this issue at this convention?
Wow. I mean, no one knows the person that she just painted. Do you? I mean, this person doesn't exist. It's such a straw man. I mean, there are so many ways to go with this, but one of them is certainly true. And that if she thinks that the women of America can be bought off with a pack of pills by the President of the United States, if he can buy their vote with a pack of contraceptive pills, he's greatly underestimated what the women of this country really are and how strong they truly are. They are not homogenous, and the group that she represents is, especially given how she put it last night, must represent about less than 1% of the American public. I think women ought to be offended and outraged that she would be claiming to speak for them. I certainly am.
Let me get your reaction to the flip side of Mitt Romney as being the alternative on this issue and many other issues, obviously, to President Obama. When Romney ran for Senate in 1994 as a Republican against Ted Kennedy, he positioned himself as strongly pro-choice, was pro-choice again when he ran for governor in 2002 and was successful. And he says he converted after studying the issue more carefully as it related to stem cells a couple years after being elected governor. How confident are you that his conversion is genuine rather than politically expedient?
Well, it's something that I've actually gotten to know about him. I'm a convert on this issue as well, so I have a heart for converts. I do believe him. Having talked to him, having gotten a pledge, a presidential pro-life pledge, where his name is beside very strong commitments to protect life and to really not just wait for pro-life legislation, but to advance it if he becomes president. I think getting to know him a little bit better over time has helped me to understand how he approaches issues and problems. And I do think that it was an intellectual decision in the beginning, and that his conviction caught up with, and I think it's like a convert often. His drive and his energy and his determination often catches up. It was that way with me. And he's also a manager. He made a firm stand on the life issue. I think he wanted to see and look very carefully, because it was new to him, what he could do, and then move very slowly. And as where he has moved has been progressively better and better and better. And I'm grateful that people embraced me when my mind started to change, and I do the same with him.
Last question before we let you go, Marjorie. Obviously, the Sandra Fluke story was one of the reasons this issue was featured so prominently at the convention. The other one, of course, as you know, is from just a couple weeks ago, and the comments made by Republican Senate candidate Todd Akin in Missouri, and the legitimate rape, which he has apologized for and so forth, about why he would not support abortion even in cases of rape and incest and so forth. How much do you think those comments have impacted this campaign nationwide, and how do you expect that to play out both in the presidential race and in Missouri?
Well, I think the data is showing that the sting of it is worn off, despite the mainstream media's desire to keep it in the public conversation for a long time. I'm not saying it's not important. It's certainly important. But it's certainly something important to discuss and get clarity on and then continue to move on. And where our decision was to really meet that conversation in Missouri, we ran the ad that you ran at the beginning of the show in Missouri to really talk, okay, you want to talk about extreme, let's talk about Obama's extreme. Right now, and that's what we plan on doing and what we'll continue to do, and actually talking about issues that have been on his desk so that he could sign or not sign, or take a stand on that he didn't or did. That's really important. And that needs to be discussed as well. And that's what we plan on doing from now until Election Day.
And that ad that we played at the beginning, at least an excerpt of, will be airing in North Carolina both before and after the president's acceptance speech tonight. For those who don't live in Missouri or North Carolina, Marjorie, where can folks see it online?
Take a look at our website. It'll be front and center. Just Google Susan B. Anthony List and go there, and it'll be the first thing that comes up.
And folks can do that anytime they wish. Marjorie, thank you very much for being with us, as always.
Oh, God bless you, and thank you so much.
Marjorie Dannenfelser is president of the Susan B. Anthony List. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.